What the fuck is a reboot?
Hello and welcome back to Clerks Minute Reboot, the show where we're looking at the 2019 Kevin Smith movie Chainsaw by Reboot 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host Blake.
I'm Kyle. I'm former correspondent for Chronicon.
And as our special guest on this episode, we have my better half, his sister, my beautiful wife, Mandy. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the show, babe. What's funny is when me and Kyle started in the theaters, I'm like, well, when we get to this movie on our show, I know where I want Mandy to come in. But I wasn't sure what format we were doing on the show at the time, so now we're at 5 minutes at a time. You're coming in a really strange 5 minutes. But, as I always ask everybody, and this is going to be a great answer, because I know the answer to this question already. Before today, when I asked you to watch 2 minutes, have you ever seen this movie?
Nope.
Okay, well, that's okay. You know what? Every season's got to have one of them. How confused are you?
I have no idea what's going on. Like, no clue.
Okay.
Like, I know that's Kevin Smith's actual daughter.
Yes.
Is she playing herself?
No. That is not Millie. She's actually, as we know at home, and Jay knows, but she doesn't know yet. In the storyline, that's actually Jay's daughter.
So, okay, then that makes that whole thing even weirder. Because he's kid drugs.
Well, she actually got him high earlier in the movie, so that actually makes all sense. He knocked her out with she knocked him out with chocolate edibles earlier in the movie. So, but she doesn't know. But she doesn't know he's her dad.
Flash forward for Jay.
What?
That's just a flash forward for his actual daughter.
Kind of sort of. His daughter is in this movie after this scene. His actual daughter is in this movie at the cameo as Ben Affleck's daughter.
Wait, is Ben Affleck's in the movie?
Yeah, next scene. Next 5 minutes, Ben Affleck's in.
And what the fuck we'll get to it, but what does Jim from American Pie and Dawson have anything to do with this?
We'll explain everything. It'll explain everything. Before we get to all that, get to the con itself, because the con is weird and it's fun. We do have the emotional climax of the last scene where Jay and Bob are heading to stop the movie from being made like they did in First Strike Back. And Millie and her friends are trying to get in the movie. So they have.
Now, why are they trying to get in the movie?
Because one of her lifelong dreams is to be in a feature film. And this is the best chance they have of getting into a movie. It's because they're filming a scene at the con. So that's why.
I mean, it's just a shame her father isn't Kevin Smith and could put her in a movie.
Well, unfortunately, Kevin Smith is playing himself in this movie, too. Kevin's playing Silent Bob, and then later, Kevin Smith is also playing himself.
I feel like I needed a chocolate edible.
Try one. So anyway, everyone's following along. Jay hands off the final one of their strain of weed that they made at the beginning of this movie.
Which, I know that strain. I know the name.
Right.
Only, you know why I would know the name?
Why? Susie Bouties, for those who are wondering.
Oh.
Snugan. Sorry, wrong one.
Okay, so now do you know why I know it?
Why? Tell us. Tell everybody.
There's an Impractical Jokers episode where they're trying to make each other laugh. And Q has a ringtone for his wife, and it says, "You're gonna marry this bitch, Snugans." And I remember, like, I thought he said it said Snookums, and you were like, no, that says Snookums. It's something with Jay and
Snugans.
Yeah, something with Jay and Silent Bob. Yeah. So when I read her hat, I was like, "You're gonna marry this bitch."
That's very funny. So yeah, it says Snugans. They actually had what was the official title of the weed strain, Kyle? You remember better than I do. The strands of gold? Gold?
Yeah. I believe that was it, yeah.
Yeah, the strands of gold.
I do like when he said, "Remember me." But when you smoke this, you're not going to remember anything. So save it for a special occasion.
Well, the last person to take one of these without warning was their quote unquote Uber driver, who got so stoned that he ended up getting arrested. So Merkins earlier in the movie. So, and then he attacked him with tater tots. That's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing. Okay, this is a sentence that this really happened in the movie. So their ride me now driver, it was on an Uber. They didn't want to pay for Uber in the movie. They want to pay for the ride for Uber. So they called it ride me now for obvious joke reasons.
What is it?
Ride me now. So their driver was cooking tater tots in his car called Hater Tots. Which we then find out later in the movie that the Ku Klux Klan bought the Hater Tots. And the Ku Klux Klan leader was Chris Jericho.
It's a shame that people listening don't have the visual here.
I know, seriously. Kurt Hoffman came on particularly for that episode because it was Jericho.
No, yeah, no shit. Of course he would.
And the funny part about that whole thing is Kevin did not know that Jericho was a heel in AEW because AEW hadn't aired yet. AEW hadn't premiered yet when they filmed the movie. And he didn't realize that Jericho was one of the top heels in the wrestling business. And he just thought, because he knows Jericho was a nice guy, he'd play a great heel on television. He'd play a great heel in his movie. That's so funny to me. Like, he said that on his podcast crossover was talking Jericho. Like, that's hysterical. But anyway, back to where we actually are here. He hands off the strain for him to remember him by, because, you know, that's what it is. That's what you do. That will come up later in this movie. She didn't actually smoke it. We'll get to that later in the movie.
can we spoiler alert? Oh, what does she do with it?
She knocks out the whole bunch of the okay. Warning the people later in the movie that we were well aware when we get to the scene in the movie that this is not date well in 2022 time with the war going on in Ukraine. We're well aware this is not date well, but she knocks out some Russian terrorists with the strain. I had to clarify that could be explained that later in the another episode. They were well aware it didn't date well 3 years later. So anyway,
I feel like I was severely misinformed about this show and that I should have showed up high.
But anyway, as we've been joking about though, about Harley in this movie, Harley Quinn Smith, she's the only one actually acting in this movie. She's the only one actually acting. I forgot who was on when guest said it. That she's using these scenes as her highlight wheel to put into her highlight wheel. To send
it really is. It's like, watch me cry. Watch this range of emotions. And I'm like,
you forget
I can't here. Get. I can't focus on her big crocodile tears. It's those stupid little pigtails.
Well, as was pointed out last episode, she's the only one, because there's a Hot Topic store that sells the gear of Jay and Silent Bob in various movies. That's kind of the joke. And she's the only one dressed as Jay. Everyone else is dressed as Bob. Which she doesn't know he's her dad either. That's the best part at this point. She doesn't know this. So she just happens to dress like Jay.
I love the fact that she's dressed like Jay, but she looks like Bob.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Well, the funny part is, in real life, apparently when the two of them go out, three of them go out because they hang out a lot because Jay and Harley legitimately are really close. It's Uncle Jay. Apparently, people think that Jay is her dad, which is where Kevin thought of this idea.
When I say she looks like Bob, she does not look like Bob. She looks exactly like Jay.
That's the whole joke in the real world. That's why I put it in the movie. That's why he did that, because a lot of people, when the three of them are hanging out, think that Jay is her dad for real. So,
like, I mean, I'm assuming that they both did a lot of drugs right around the time when she was born. Are we sure?
It's definitely... Okay, I'll tell you that this is definitely Kevin and Jen's kid, because it was an accident.
Okay.
And Kevin admitted that on the air, and so it has Jen. But it's like the best accident they ever had, one of those things. And they even say that on Plus One, but it was not planned, because they weren't even married yet. She got married while they were pregnant with Harley. They got married. So, and she was like 8 months pregnant when they got married, and they got married at a private ceremony at Lucas Ranch.
Skywalker Ranch,
which is interesting because I think they were doing the move these sounds for, I think it was Dogma. I want to say Dogma, or I forgot which one. I think it was Dogma. So So we have the emotional scene that she's the only one really emotional, and Jay's trying to cry, even though he wouldn't think he would be able to cry knowing how fucked up his life was in real world. He's going to channel his real world life to cry, but apparently he couldn't pull that off. But then
that also reminds me of an Impractical Jokers joke where Sal was trying to cry, and they were like, and Joe was like, just think of your life.
And it made him laugh.
Yeah, it made him laugh. Well, everything makes Sal laugh.
This is true. This is very, very true. So, we
don't see Schindler's List with him.
Whoa.
Wow. Well, anyway, so for, when you say that, I think of the Seinfeld episode where Jerry got caught making out at Schindler's List with his girlfriend by by one of his friend's moms. That's the truth. Well, it was by Newman, who told his mom. That's in Seinfeld.
Liam Neeson gets her hot.
Oh, my God. I remember that. That was one of those, what the fuck are we doing in this story? Really? Are we doing this episode? So, okay. We move on. We run into our con security guard as listed on the credits as Diedrich Bader. Which is a nice cameo here. I actually like this. This is actually a really cool running gag next for the next, like, 5-10 minutes of this movie.
What is his connection to them?
I'm looking it up, and I'm trying to figure it out myself, but I don't see anything in his credits. I think he might have just been friends. Go ahead.
I think the reason that they put him in here is because he's voiced Batman in several cartoons.
He was in Strike Back.
Yeah.
He was in Strike Back. Ties in perfectly.
Because I know him from the Drew Carey Show.
Of course.
More recently,
he was in American Housewife.
There you go. I knew you know him from there. Like, I knew you would know him from that show for sure.
And he was fantastic on that show. He's funny. So he's got this, like, dry sense of humor.
I was going to say, Oswald's moved up from Drug Co.
But yeah, exactly. I knew you would know him from.
I like how they called him Security Dick.
Security Dick.
And that comes back in a couple of seconds.
Yes, it works really well. There's one thing I give Kevin credit in this movie for. He pays off every joke somewhere. Like, he pays off everything. Like, we were talking, like, later in the movie, he pays off jokes that he set up in the first, like, 5-10 minutes of this movie at the end. Like, he's so well-written when it came to that in here. I do like the fact that he says nobody gets in. As the French say, sense badge. That's what? Okay, sure. Let's go with that. But this is not even the strangest cameo in this scene. This little sequence here.
See, again, this cameo made no sense to me.
It made no sense to us in the theater. But before I even get to that, I do like the fact that important people, actors, actresses, directors, podcasters, podcasters got listed as
and
important.
The look that Jay and Silent Bob gave each other when he said podcasters. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, I did. You are.
It was like.
Well, I like that, but I also like when he says directors. Kevin has his look and he's like, ugh.
Yeah, no. He says podcasters there it and is, they both like, light up and they look at each other.
That is a very funny joke. That is very funny. But, He actually claims them to be the greatest Nut Bar fans, which is a very funny line. I want to use that line in a con in the future. Like, I actually like that line.
What was it?
Nut Bar, the craziest Nut Bar fans at this con. But then enters one of the strangest cameos next to Chris Hemsworth in this movie. Keith Coogan from the Babysitter that walks in for no reason. Like, I don't understand why he's here. Like, I don't know what they want to do with anything.
This makes no sense to me because I never saw the movie. So, like, this, I was just like, okay.
Well, don't feel bad because it makes no sense to us either. There's a lot of random cameos in this movie just to have cameos in this movie because it's just funny.
Why do I get the feeling that they just saw him walking down the street like, hey, Keith, want to be in a movie?
Well, the joke in this movie, and it comes up actually, it's actually on the soundtrack as a joke, but it comes up later in a couple of scenes where Kevin says the whole joke about this reboot is that he called up his friends because he had just died from a heart attack to come on this movie. So maybe he's just friends with them. So he's like, I died of a heart attack. I almost died of a heart attack. Come in my movie. Come on my movie.
I was about to say, called up because they died from...
No, he almost died from a heart attack. Yeah. It's one of my favorite lines. It's one of those things because on the, on the Kevin Smith soundtrack, they put clips from the movie in the soundtrack. Yeah. And that's one of the clips in the soundtrack.
That makes me wonder if Uncle Joe would have made a film.
If he survived his heart attack? So then we enter the panels... The panel rooms are funny to me, but the first one we enter and we cut to
when they enter that like first space that is crowded with all the people.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
This is the panel, yeah. This is how panel rooms are. This is how panels are. If you get there late, that's how panel rooms are.
No, crowded, I mean, no. Like, before they went into the panel room.
Yeah.
There was, like, this, just, like, it looked like a hall with a bunch of people.
Yeah, this
it was
is normal.
Before they went in.
Completely normal.
That's normal?
Completely normal. Yeah. It's 100% normal.
I've never been to a nerd con.
Yeah, this is completely normal. As a matter of fact, just so you're aware, when Kevin actually made this, like, Jay and Silent Bob version of San Diego Comic Con.
Okay.
And because they couldn't get the right to, you have to pay to use the word Comic Con, which is why it's Chronicon, because they don't have to pay for that. It's a simple.
And honestly, that kind of sounds cool.
It sounds a lot better, especially for this movie. Mm-hmm. And it makes more sense for a Kevin Smith con to be Chronicon. So we enter our first panel. And I love the panel accuracy, by the way. Panel accuracy is hysterical because there's so many people in cosplay and so many random things going on here. But the first thing we see is somebody saying he wants to have the question for the real Jay and Silent Bob, and it is one, Brian Q. Quinn from Impractical Jokers. Which, again, was the first reason I'm like, Mandy has to be on the show, no matter what before what we do it in, because of her love for Brian Quinn. But before we get to that, you've asked me 1,000 times what's his connection to Kevin Smith, besides, obviously, he actually was, he was part of the original message board for Jay and Silent Bob back when they first did the internet back in, like, 2001. That the message board that Ming Chen actually created as a fan. He wasn't even associated with Kevin. He made it as a fan, and then Kevin bought it and then hired Ming on. Well, Brian was a part of that message board. And when, I forgot what book it was, that he said that I'm going to get this book. It was something that Kevin challenged the fans to do something, and then Brian did it and then sent Kevin the video. Unsolicited. And Kevin loved it so much that he got Brian's number and they became friends.
Okay.
And then hired him on to work at the Stash in Jersey.
So what is blowing my mind right now is how many times you've called him Brian, because I'm so not used to that.
Sorry. And then he worked at the Stash, which where he met Walt and Bry to start Tell Him Steve Dave. Which is how we got here.
And I remember I was in Mom and Dad's room watching Jokers because I had discovered it when I was getting a pedicure before a wedding that shall not be named because they're not together anymore.
Fair. That's a lot of our weddings, though.
It was the one I was in, but you weren't.
Got it. That's all you gotta say.
It seems like your relationship is the exception to the rule.
Especially at our ages. By the way, though, okay, before I continue, is this the one I live streamed?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
So I was in Mom and Dad's room watching it because I thought it was funny, and I remember you came in and you were like, "Hey, I know him." And I was like, "How the hell do you know him?" And you were like, He's in one of the podcasts that I listen to, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Ended up being Tell Him Steve Dave, which was the second podcast on the Smodcast Network, by the way, behind Smodcast. And it was actually, did you even know the story behind Tell Him Steve Dave? Do you know the story behind it? Why it exists? No. Brian Johnson was close to committing suicide. And Kevin went to Walt. He's like, well, maybe if you sit down and record with him, he'll have something committed to every single week, and that will help him get his head on straight. And that actually helped him, legitimately. Brian Johnson actually says, this is what helped me get off the ledge, was doing Tell Him Steve Dave. Because it gave him a place and a schedule. Like, we're doing this every week on this time, this day, and it gave him a reason to be alive. And that got him to get his life together. Now he's married, he's adopted a kid, and all this kind of stuff. You know, like... Wow. So, like, with Down syndrome and everything, like, it's a crazy life he has now. But, like, who knew back when the show started that that's exactly what would have happened?
And Brian Quinn, 46, has 3 cats.
Lives alone, has 3 cats. That is the tattoo he has. What is the tattoo? Is it 42? 40? What was the 43?
I want to say it was like 38.
38? Was it that long ago? I'm like, wow, it's been a long time since I did that tattoo on Jokers.
So, yeah, obviously, if you haven't realized it by now, we are huge Impractical Jokers fans.
It's the first time we had to talk about it on the show. It's the first time we had to talk about it.
And
Q is my absolute favorite. I have a little bit of a crush on him.
A little bit. A little bit.
And I was going to say, why do I get the feeling that that tattoo will be his epitaph?
Well, actually, every birthday, he tweets out the updated age on the tattoo.
Yeah.
Every year on his birthday. So, I think that's pretty cool. That's how you know how old he is. He put that tweet out every year.
But yeah, like I said, that's going to be etched into his tombstone.
Why not?
I'm going to look up and see what birthday was actually, like, what is on the tattoo.
Go ahead. Well, while you do that, Bri here. Well,
38. Caleb,
38, it was 38, yeah, yeah. Hugh is dressed as Batman, which is funny, because of the show Fat Man on Batman, which is the show that Kevin hosts.
Is that why he's got long hair?
Well, he has long hair because this is... so, apparently, they filmed this. Well, he's dressed like Silent Bob, also known as, as the host of Fat Man on Batman. That's the whole thing. But they actually...
Is that why your nickname was Fat Man?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it all ties together. Everything ties together.
I was just making sure, because that's how long you've been a fan of his.
Yeah, I've been a fan a long time. I go back a long time. But here's the thing that's funny about this. You believe they filmed this scene. He flew in from doing the Impractical Jokers movie to film this scene and then flew back to the movie set.
Wow.
Because they were filming the Impractical Jokers movie in Atlanta, I believe. And they filmed this in New Orleans.
Oh, that's not that bad of a...
So he flew to New Orleans, did this scene... and then flew back to Atlanta to do the Joker's movie. So that's pretty cool. He did both of them at the same time. So so then they sit in the crowd and they're doing this. And now I'll explain why Jason Biggs and Jim Vanderbeek are in this movie.
Yes, I need to know why Jim and Dawson are there.
Yeah, well, they are in here because they are the ones who play Bluntman and Chronic, right? In the first Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. They play Jay and Bob in the original Strike Back movie. That this movie is rebooting. Like, the whole point of this movie is they're rebooting Bluntman and Chronic, which was the movie in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
I thought it was going to be the American Pie Varsity Blues crossover we all wanted.
So no. Who played?
And they believe
Bob.
It was Jason was Jay, and then James was Bob. I remember my movie. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, but I believe that's what it was. So it was Bluntman and Chronic, but then they are not. They were recast in this version in the reboot. With Val Kilmer and Melissa Benoist. Not joking whatsoever. Not joking.
So, who's Melissa?
Melissa would be the J spot because the whole joke is that they cut off his dick and made him a girl. That's one of the jokes in the beginning of this movie that Jay complains about is they cut off his dick.
One of the reasons he wants to go to Hollywood is to get his dick back.
Yeah, that's a joke that everybody says this entire movie. But Melissa Benoist plays Jay. It's really funny. The scene sequence later is, if you ever want to see Melissa ham it up to 150 degrees, that is the scene later. She hams it up so well that it's hysterical. Like it's. So
or I could just watch Grease.
Also true, yeah. Really, yeah.
But yeah, but and also to a lesser extent, Val Kilmer hamming it up without any
Yeah,
lines.
Because he can't really talk. He can't talk anymore, so he hams it up without talking. It's absolutely one of the funnier scenes in the entire movie, the two of them doing it.
Wow, okay.
Here, I like the fact that they're so annoyed in character that they're not in the reboot in the character world that we're in, that Jason Biggs is shitting on the movie at a panel at the con talking about the movie.
I was going to say,
he is, but James Vanderbeek isn't because he's excited about it, which leads to a sick burn from...
James Vanderbilt is a great line. But before I get to that, though, the line, there's a couple of lines actually that are in the trailer of this movie from this sequence. The line, who's directing the shit anyway, Kevin fucking Smith is in the trailer, which is very funny. And then the next line, I believe it's, this movie is doomed, and then there's another line he says that are all in the trailer, which makes it even funnier that he's making fun, they made fun of the movie in the trailer before the movie came out.
And I was going to say, I think I said this in the next segment, but I really wish that more panels like this were that honest.
I know, seriously. This is such an honest panel. Like, it's not even fun to have a
show like this. Also, I don't know if you guys noticed this, because you guys were, like, paying attention to the whole movie, but I only had this 5 minutes.
That's fine.
But I loved, while they were talking, that Kevin tapped the lady in front of them.
You know who that is, right?
Who's also dressed like Silent Bob.
You know who that is?
Who is that?
That's his mom. That's Kevin's mom.
Shut up,
bro. That's Kevin's mom. That is Kevin's mom.
Well, then that would explain why.
Exactly. That's the joke. Yeah. That's the joke. That's his mom. He's tapping his mom on the shoulder to say hi.
She's in.
I didn't see it as hi. I saw it as nice costume. I see your Bob too.
Yeah, but that's his mom. That's Grace. That's awesome. Grace Smith. That's Grace Smith.
She's in Clerks and Clerks 2 as the milkmaid.
Yes, she pops up in there and then she does this cameo. She's not having health problems. She's just getting older. She's getting older. Yeah. But he's able to. He went back to Florida to go with her on the plane to make sure she was in this movie.
Aww.
To make sure she was in this movie, and then make sure he had her own private. She had her own. They ended up getting like this big hotel suite for the group. And he got her his own room for the duration of filming, and then flew her back home by himself to make sure she got home safe. That's taking care of your mom right there. I gotta give credit where it's due. That's taking care of your mom. But yeah, that's very funny. I see Snoopy waving to us now on the screen. I do like the fact that Jason yells at him to saying, "Why are you sucking the reboot's dick?" Which is a fantastic line. And it's so stupid. It's just a stupid line.
How dare they assume the reboot's gender?
That's so true. You never assume a reboot's gender, ever. You never do that.
Oh, you are so getting canceled on Twitter.
So, by the way, if you're missing this, Kyle is like mocking tweeting. Next to me, like mocking, like rage tweeting next to me.
Just forget, don't forget, Twitter has the word twit in it.
True, you're not wrong. So, okay, we move on, and we get to the line, which I like the fact that his response to buttfucker is Vanderbitch, and Q enjoys that way too much.
I like when he taps the random person, he's like, Vanderbitch. He said Vanderbitch.
He was so proud of that one.
I was going to say, I don't think he's enjoying it too much. I think he isn't enjoying it enough.
So enters our security bitch. Speaking of bitches.
Nope, that's security dick.
Sorry, security dick. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry. Security dick. He's an interloper. We're like, what? What are we doing? And they sprint out. And then we have two random moments, which I have to admit, this made me crack up at the movie theater. This whole thing made me crack up. Because first we cut to the comic book men panel reunion.
Yeah.
Which I need to know what was in this book that ended with, and of all said words, with tongue of pen, the status of these was they canceled comic book men. I really need to know what was in the rest of that paragraph.
Did Frankie from Boy Meets World have a hand in it? It'll be followed by Poem of the Fierce Samurai Warrior.
But Ming made me openly laugh in the theater when I saw that line, because I love the comic book men, but also Ming.
Speaking of Bri.
Yes. And we have, of course, our cameos with the comic book men crew. We have left to right, we have one Walt Flanagan, we have Brian Johnson, we have Ming Chen, and we have Michael Flanagan. And by the way, Mike Zapsik. Walt Flanagan, Brian Johnson, Ming Chen, and Mike Zapsik. But by the way, Walt doesn't fly. So he drove to New Orleans to be in this movie with his family. They made a family road trip out of it and flew and drove down there for this movie. But then, not to be outdone, of the weirdness and randomness of this, we have this whole scene, and then they leave, and they run. And they enter the next panel room, which is the Clerks anniversary reunion panel. The 25th anniversary reunion panel with Reiner Hollerin, Marilyn Gugliotti, Ernie O'Donnell, Scott Schiaffo, Johnny Wolong, and Walt Flanagan 2.
Yes, I love the 2.
By the way, past guests of the show, Reiner Hollerin, Marilyn Gugliotti, Ernie O'Donnell, and Scott Schiaffo. Then we cut to their panel, and they're in black and white on a white background. This might be one of my funniest visual jokes in the whole movie.
They pulled a reverse Schindler's List on that.
Yeah, it's such a funny moment.
And I also love how Jay and Silent Bob turned black and white, too.
Yes, that's the best part. Like, they're not obviously in the panel, and then they turn black and white. Because they're from the movie. It's such a good joke. Like, you didn't expect it. Like, I remember the theater, everyone is like, wait, what just happened? And then they start laughing. But I do love their reaction. Like, wait, we know you. Why do we know you? That's
the original expression. And then the screaming.
Yeah, that's the screaming.
There was a gag like this in Stay Tuned with John Ritter.
Yes, where, you're right.
Yeah, where he's following Jeffrey Jones's character through the channels there. At one point, he winds up zapping himself into a Three's Company rerun.
Oh, yeah, I remember that!
Yeah, the two of these go, going, where have you been? Ah!
That's very funny. That's a very good comparison, yeah. Actually. It's very good. But they have that. By the way, behind them, you do have the graphics behind them are actually the posters that are used when they go on tour. Like the various posters that are on the walls of the panel rooms. Or like the Jane Style Bob posters from like the world tours they go on, the tours they go on, and they have different posters for different cities, and those are the posters sitting on the walls. So that's actually pretty cool. And they run out again.
Yeah. Probably because that room was too weird even for them.
Yeah, and then we end with them walking, running into another room, which, by the way, for the next episode, is Ben Affleck. The next 5 minutes is all Ben Affleck. Like, the whole next 5 minutes.
And who was them. Lucky enough to get Ben Affleck?
I'm going to bring up my spreadsheet so everybody knows who's on the next episode. But anything else you want to say about the sequence, Kyle, at all?
I'm sorry. I fucking love the Clerks. I just fucking love the Clerks cameo.
Yeah, it's great. For, funny part is, I remember seeing the theater. I'm like, well, they have this cameo in here. This gives us an excuse to do this movie on the show. This gives us an excuse. Besides the fact of all the other references to Clerks and Clerks 2 in this movie. But this perfect gives us an excuse to do this movie on the show.
I will say, though, the Ben Affleck cameo kind of feels like the Matt Damon one in which, hey, we got Ben for 5 minutes. Let's get him in here.
Yeah, well, the difference is Matt Damon wasn't really on set. Ben Affleck was.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Ben Affleck. Matt Damon literally, I'll talk about it now. Early in the movie, Matt Damon literally sat down at a church pew to do an entire monologue catching you up on his Loki character from Dogma.
And turning it into a dad joke.
Yeah, maybe turning it into a dad joke. It's so stupid. It's so funny. But in the next episode, we do have our own Mike Donovan coming on in the next episode to talk about Ben Affleck and have a lot of fun. And we're going to have a lot of fun next episode with him. Actually, no, the Ben Affleck scene actually blends over into two episodes. It's them and the Batman and Grimes. Get the next one. And as we joke about in that episode, they end up getting, three former Batman in their minutes without realizing it.
Yeah.
Without realizing that was not planned at all. I literally contacted them with Val Kilmer. And then we ended up having three former like Batman and then the Supergirl and all this kind of stuff in there. Not even realizing it at the time. So that's in a couple episodes though. But next episode is Mike Donovan continuing on with this scene. Honey, you're confused. But any thoughts on this sequence? And you didn't want to watch the rest of this movie because you're not very confused.
Nope.
Okay.
No interest whatsoever.
Would you watch it high?
Yes.
Okay. How high?
Well, I see what you did there. I see what you did. I see what you did there. That was a callback. I see what you did there.
Am I to understand that?
There was earlier in the film, they referenced the movie How High,
with
Method Man and Rent Man, and then Method Man and Rent Man pop up in the movie.
Of course they do in a
drugged up stupor
from I would have to be
I would love to watch the movie high. I've only watched a movie sober. I love to watch a movie high. I think it'd be so whacked out and crazy.
But yeah, I was gonna say in a drugged up stupor, but enough about how they got Method and Brett in there.
I'll tell this one, Beth, because we have to look up because we're running early. They literally have Meth and Red on here. But after, remember I said earlier that Millie drugged Jay, drugged Bob with the chocolate? That was how we get to the Bob and to the Meth and Red's fantasy sequence. They're thinking about, but in this sequence that literally drug induced, they have a serious conversation about how to be a proper father. Not joking at all. Not one joke at all. I'm dead serious about this. They have a dead serious conversation about how to be a father.
And let's be honest, Beth and Red are kind of the last people you'd expect to give parenting advice.
Yeah, and it was legitimate conversation. About the difference between being a father and being a dad. Legit conversation. It was actually really funny. But anyway.
It's like going to Ted Bundy for dating advice.
I wouldn't go that far. But I will take this opportunity to get into plugs. Honey, when this episode comes out, it will be in June. But it doesn't mean you can't plug your book. I know it's not the audience, yeah. but many people should know about this book as possible. So tell everyone about your book.
It's called I Know I Am. It's based off of my life, and it's for children first grade to third grade, but I would say anyone from kindergarten to eighth would benefit from the lessons in it. It's about body positivity and positive affirmations. There are a couple of trigger warnings in terms of eating disorder and bullying, but there are also resources located in the book, as well as an interactive affirmations page. So go to what I'm assuming will be the link that Blake will be posting with it.
I'll be right there in the description right now. Go click on the link.
And check it out, or go to iknowiambook.com.
Yes, definitely a must pick up, especially if you have children of any kind. Go pick that up. As for me, as always, listen to the Blake and Sasha with Mark every single solitary Friday at all podcasting platforms and at theblakeandsalshow.com. Thank you, honey, for coming on. This is a lot of fun, and I loved watching you be confused, try to explain this. This reminds me of the times where me and Dad tried to explain Lucha Underground storylines to Sal. That's what this feels like. That's what this feels like to me. But not nearly as crazy, because there's no dragons involved. But
you mean you can't imagine dragons?
No, there was in Lucha Underground, there was a guy that played a dragon. But won't get into that right now. The Drago. We're not going to get into that right now. But anyway, honey, thank you so much.
I thought his name was Elliot.
Anyway, honey, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
No problem.
And as for everybody listening, we'll be back next episode with Mike Donovan. Until then, thank you all for listening to the Curse Minute Reboot. I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle.
Have a good day, everybody.
Vander bitch. He said Vander bitch.
Noinch, 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 smoking weed, doing coke, drinking beers, rolling baddies, smoking blunts, who smokes the blunts, rolling blunts and smoking.